Just a jackknife that has old Mecca Heath, babe.
Welcome back. I'm Michael. You're listening to The Michael Dresser Show. Mae McCarthy with us, the author of The Path to Wealth, Seven Spiritual Steps for Financial Abundance. She's co-funded and given six successful companies over in her 30 years career, with the largest growing to over $100 million in annual revenue. She credits her success with the principles described in her book and firmly believes that financial success and freedom are available to anyone who is willing to apply them. Mae, hi, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on, Michael. I really appreciate it.
Oh, and thank you for being here. The Path to Wealth, Seven Spiritual Steps for Financial Abundance. There is that element within all of us, whether somebody wants to admit it or not, that deep down something that allows you to go ahead with something or stop. So spirituality in and of itself is a very important part of wealth, isn't it?
It is an important part. What I like to consider this book telling people to do is to combine really tried and true goal attainment techniques with an element of spiritual practice, which requires discipline, and also requires them to honor something that they can't see. All of us have had that gut feeling or that gut instinct or that really strong thought that keeps bothering us. But, you know, we're not trained in society anymore to pay attention and honor those messages. And this book hopefully will help people to do that.
I mean, it's very important. If you don't define your destination, you're never going to get there. And I think that in and of itself is the biggest problem that most people have. Now, intuition. People are frightened to death to go with their gut, so to speak, because of one word. The word is judgment. What's somebody else going to think? And I think it's standing up and being the best you can be for yourself, as opposed to what you think somebody else would like you to be, is where the real magic happens.
I agree. In fact, if you look at some of the most famous and successful people of our time, including Bill Gates, who said often you have to rely on intuition, or Oprah, who says that she's listened to that still small voice all her life, and the only time that she's actually made mistakes is when she didn't listen. And Steve Jobs said exactly what you did. He said it takes courage to follow your heart and your intuition, because it's not always popular.
Oh, absolutely. No question about it. Because, you know, you've spent here 32 years uncovering the mystery of how to rely on intuition. But that's the whole key. It's covered up. It's not something that you just automatically know about. You've learned about it. It's something that's there, but you're not going to be able to touch it until you recognize it. And more importantly, the path to get there.
Right. And all of us have the capability, Michael, every single one of us. But because we've been trained to focus and rely so much on our rational intellect and not rely on that wonderful gift of intuition, we don't know how to actually recognize when the messages are something that's helpful to us, or whether they're based in fear and doubt and things like that.
You know, it's interesting.
And this book trains people how to do that.
It's interesting how you get talked to, you know, intuition and everything else. I remember probably 5, 6, 7 years ago, there was, 10, 11 Michael Dressers on the internet, and I had to do something to brand myself away from them. So I started using my middle name, and overnight I became Michael Ray, and everybody's saying Michael Ray, even people I've known for years. And then about a year or two ago, I thought, okay, enough. I'm really not Michael Ray, I'm Michael. And I'm driving down the street, and I said, and this is exactly what I said, okay, am I Michael or am I Michael Ray? And I glanced up to the right, and there was Jackson Street. Michael Jackson. And I got my answer.
I love it. I have stuff like that happen all the time. And you knew that that message was for you.
Absolutely.
And I've had messages where I just know, I can see a sign. I was considering selling my last company, which I ultimately did sell, to a $5.5 billion company down in California. And I was really struggling. I mean, we were profitable, we were cash flow positive, debt free. We did not need to be purchased. We did not need to even have a strategic partnership. And I was considering, gosh, should I do this? Should I do this? And remember, part of this practice, it's a daily practice. So you're always putting your goals at the forefront. And one of my goals was to be eventually acquired, but I didn't know when. At any rate, I was driving down the road, and I saw this giant billboard that said, "Your fortune will be made in San Diego," which is where this company
That's
located.
Funny.
No, and I just knew that was for me.
Yeah. No, absolutely. You know, and more, and I don't want to get too far off track because I think it's extremely important with what we're talking about. But yesterday, I think it came on the news that there was a woman who slid off. I can't remember where it was, but she slid off the street. It was snowing and icy, and she went into the river, and the car went mostly into the river. She was killed immediately, and 13 hours later, they found her daughter. Did you hear about that?
No, I didn't.
Okay. Now, this is something I heard this morning. 13 hours later, there were four cops that were looking, you know, for the car and everything. They heard a woman screaming for help.
Wow.
Yeah, and they got down there and they saved the baby. The baby lived. It was in the water for 13 hours. And the mom had been dead for, 10, 11 hours, whatever it was. But when they got close, there was a woman screaming for help. So,
oh, my goodness.
Yeah, so, you know, when it comes down to it, it's called don't close off. You know, it doesn't mean that everything you do, there's a ghost standing there talking to you. That's not where we're at with this. But it's that inside something that's within you that knows what truth is. And I think
there's no question, absolutely no question in my mind. In fact, I think science, Michael, I think science is catching up because there have been some discoveries about the cells that are in our brain being in our stomachs and our hearts. And I don't know about you, but I often get intuitive hits in my stomach or in my heart. I get a feeling or a gut wrenching or something. And they're saying that the same cells that are located in your brain, the same neurons are located also in your stomach and your heart.
And by the way,
so there's some scientific basis for this as well.
But that's the whole key. Science is something that's provable. So if they haven't been able to prove it before, they've thrown it out. But if now all of a sudden they're saying that there's, you know, there's something in your stomach, there's something in your brain, you know, the neurons and the pathways and everything, now all of a sudden it's provable, so they're bringing it into reality.
You're absolutely right. And one of the things that I've known in running, you know, growing and starting and running businesses is that if I keep my goals at the forefront of my thoughts, I start to notice possibilities. If I'm expecting my intuition to help me, I start to notice possibilities. And there's been a whole bunch of brain research that's been done on the power of expectations. There's dopamine that's released in your brain, which helps you to focus and see more possibilities. And so as you use these seven spiritual steps that are in the book, what ends up happening is in the morning you're asked to revisit your goals daily. And as you go throughout your day with these goals in the forefront of your thought, you start to see possibilities and leads from intuition that will guide you and direct you to the next step on the path to your goals.
Oh, absolutely.
It's really uncanny. You then become easily able to create proof, which, of course, just builds confidence. And in a spiritual realm, the confidence is simply faith.
Sure. And when you really come down to it, if you want to change your attitude during the day, I don't care how depressed you are or angry you are or anything you are, walk into some place where you're and force yourself to smile. Force yourself to smile, because when you smile, what happens is your brain releases endorphins, the feel-good chemicals, the mood boosters, and in turn calms you down, makes you feel better, but you can't do it unless you're smiling. And I've learned over a period of time, if I get a little upset with something, I'll actually force myself to smile, and I watch the mood change immediately.
I think that's wonderful. And I'll add something to that. I have a chapter in my book that I call Jumpstart Your Good. And I ask readers to look at anything in their life that they feel is lacking. I've had people that have worked for companies and they didn't feel appreciated. I've had students who have had really difficult relationships with family or friends or coworkers. And I ask them, what do you really want? And one might want appreciation, or one might want more love, or one might want more money. And so my response to that is, why don't you start giving what you want now? And I had this one woman who was an accounting manager, she wanted more appreciation. You know, the accounting department in a Fortune 500 company does not get much accolades.
Yeah.
You know, they're just worker bees, right?
Yeah.
At least, and this was how she felt, that she felt that she and her staff didn't get a whole lot of appreciation. So what she started to do after taking my workshop and reading the book is she started to give appreciation. She called up and emailed everyone she knew. She told her employees how much she appreciated them. And about a week later, an executive vice president comes walking down the hall, drops to his knees in front of her, and starts flailing his arms in homage, saying thank you so much to you and your staff. Now, all of her staff are popping up out of their chairs and looking over their cube walls and amazed that this guy's doing this. But he was thanking her because her team found an error that could have cost the company hundreds of thousands of dollars. And he was so grateful that they were able to discover that, and so consequently, he was appreciating them. And she felt so good. So my advice to people is, if you're lacking anything, start giving it now. If you are lacking health, call up a friend and go for a walk. If you feel like you don't have enough time, I bet there's one person you can think of that you can give 20 minutes of time to. You can go walk their dog or go take care of their house while they just get outside for a walk and have 20 minutes alone. If you do that, more will return to you.
Oh, absolutely. And May, you can't give something to someone that you don't have within yourself. If I can't love me, there is no way I can love you. If I don't like me, I in turn am not going to like you. So when it really comes down to it, it has to do with, just as you said, it's about who you are, what you're responding to, and if you give it to someone else, then obviously you're going to get it back, because I believe very strongly in what comes around goes around.
Amen.
I refuse to lie to anybody, and I'm not saying that I'm, you know, one of those people who walk 10 feet off the ground, and I do it because I'm very selfish about this. I don't want to be lied to, so I don't do it.
That's right. I mean,
that's really where the key is. So what you get back is what you give, and the world in and itself is nothing more than a big mirror.
Yep, I agree. We have a philosophy. I call my source of intuition. I ask all of the students and readers to pick their own name for the source of intuition, and it should be a name that they will value, you know, whose advice they will value. And because I'm a CEO, I surround myself in my C-suite with people like my chief financial officer, my chief operations officer, and so on. So I gave the source of my intuition the name chief spiritual officer, or CSO. And I put it at the top of the org chart and let all of my employees know that the value mission of our company was to work towards the success of our coworkers, our customers, our suppliers and vendors, and our world. And if we did that, we would be blessed with success in return. And we sort of coined this phrase of customer service DNA. We were all to live with customer service DNA as part of our normal mode of operation. And I tell you, Michael, it paid off. We skyrocketed to the market share leader primarily because of the attitude of all the employees. It was really remarkable.
Sure, because when you come down to it, if you're going to name the employees, see, the reason that your business is successful, because I already know your name. You ready?
What?
Mom.
Oh. Yes, they were my family, I have to admit.
Absolutely, because that's the key, because you know how we're brought up, how our parents model the way life should be is what we look for throughout life. And I don't care who you are or, you know, what socioeconomic level that you come in at. And when people go to work, that's the same thing that they look for. And if that's not a family, if that's not engagement, then they're not going to be happy there. And that's what it sounds like. So you got your position, and I would change my business card if I were you.
I love it. Well, you know, you're absolutely right, because my parents modeled for us that if you give out that which you want and you give out something to help others. My dad was a surgeon, and he used to give away a lot of free care because there were a lot of people that couldn't afford it. And my and he used to have office buildings that he would help other doctors that were brand new to their practices before they could even afford rent. He'd give them free rent for a period of time until they built up their practice to be able to afford it. And I tell you what, we always had more in return. People would give us free food. They would give us all sorts of stuff in return. And the lesson they were trying to teach us is you can't outgive God.
No.
The more you give, you cannot outgive. You will always get more back.
Absolutely. Okay.
So, I love that.
We could talk about this for the next three nights, but we're starting to run out of time. So let me ask you this. Website we can find you at, get the books, and follow along with what you're doing.
Okay. Well, my name, Maymccarthy, maymccarthy.com.
Wonderful. Hey, May, I want to thank you so much for being here. I appreciate your time. Love what you're doing.
Oh, thanks, Michael. It was just a pleasure, and bless you. Thank you so much.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye now.
I can only give you love that lasts forever and the promise to be near each